Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. I'm Cass. Hayden's here.
Hello.
And this week we are joined by very special guest, Adam Carnevale.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's good
Thanks
to
for
be
joining us.
You, yeah.
Mm. Did you say joim? I don't even know what you missaid.
Joim.
Joim.
Is missaid a word too?
Uh-oh.
And today we're talking.
No, please, go on.
Girl, boy. All-time bad starts, I reckon, for this podcast.
And today we're talking precious gems.
Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle. Missaid is a word.
Missaid is a word. Hell yeah. Yes. Thank you, Google. Is that what they're doing, the dwarves? Mining gems?
Or they're just mining?
What did you call them?
Dwarves.
Okay.
Wasn't that what they are?
What did you think you
just
said?
Every now and then, because I call them dwarves, but every now and then I can hear people go, dwarves?
Oh, did I enunciate the duh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, some dwarves. Like American duh names
dwarves.
Seem to be like Dwight or
yeah, Dwayne.
Duron or something.
Dwarves.
Yeah.
Every now and then someone will say dwarves, and I'm like, what do you say? They're like dwarves. I'm like, what?
I might have said dwarves.
It's a conspiracy to send you up the wall.
I'm getting
it. Were they
it.
Mining gems or were they mining gold?
Diamonds.
I thought they were mining gems. Yeah, because don't they show up with, isn't one of them Doc or whatever, the adult in the group? Isn't he like looking at, he's got a jeweler's
yeah.
loop and he's looking
know.
At one?
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Hey, you know that thing with Sneezy?
Yeah.
And
what,
they,
one thing?
I'm about to say.
You asked, do I know that thing?
Yeah, I'm about to explain what the
then
thing is.
Then why did you ask if I knew it if you were about to tell me?
I just, can you give me 2 seconds to speak?
You asked me a question.
Oh, sorry, I just looked at the definition. Missaid is a word, but it's not what you think it is. It's not like to misspeak. It means to rebuke, slander, or speak. Sorry.
Oh, mate, unprofessional.
It means to rebuke, slander, or speak evil of someone.
To missay. And he's
yeah.
So if I was talking ish at you, and I would be missaying you.
Yeah,
you'd say he missaid me.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, he's missaying.
Weird.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
No, but wow, it's cool to learn a word for a thing we do.
Presumably, it's an old word that isn't used much anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, and do you guys know this? It is when Sneezy, which is a dwarf.
Yes.
He's when he's sneezing, they put their finger right
yes.
under his nose,
yes.
and it stops him sneezing.
Uh-huh.
It's the same principle that stops a glass of bubbly water from overflowing.
Yeah.
What?
Or like if you've got a pasta boiling
oh,
on the
right.
stove, you just
yeah,
put,
you
a
put a
little spoon,
put a spoon on it. Yeah. Does that ever work?
I believe it does the explanation I've heard is that it breaks the surface tension. I do it because it doesn't cost me a lot to try.
Did you mean the nose?
Oh, that part? No, I made that up. No, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
Have you tried that with nose?
Well, I feel like I have and it's never worked. But maybe it doesn't. Maybe it can't be your own nose.
See,
you know, when you shove your finger under right underneath your nostrils and it somehow short circuits the sneeze.
Absolutely. Look, I'll admit, when you said, you know, the thing with Sneezy and I said, what thing?
Yeah.
I did know.
Yeah, so why are you on my case?
As soon as you said Sneezy, I pictured that scene.
Yeah.
Stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
With the sneeze thing, right? Adam was. With the snoozy sneezy. Adam was saying, I try it because it doesn't cost me a lot to try it.
Uh-huh.
That is a high-risk situation.
No, it isn't.
What? That's the exact point. It's not a high-risk situation.
If you put your finger under your nose and it doesn't work,
that's
not
what,
only
that's
do
not
you
what
get
I'm doing. I'm not doing
your
that because it's low risk.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying this situation is high risk. And if I'm sneezing, not only am I boogering all over my finger, it's spraying at angles that I can't predict.
That's true.
Like if you shake up a bottle of champagne, or when you're trying to spray someone with a hose or something and you use your thumb.
You wouldn't do it out.
You do it
in. Only do it in. Only if the sneeze were going in. Yeah.
If it was an in a sneeze, yeah.
So, Hayden?
Yes.
Yes. Sneezing is a respiratory reflex that consists of two parts. The respiratory or the irritating sensory receptors and the nose inhaling. Blah, blah, blah. You may be able to stop the reflex on the inhale by putting your finger under your nose. So it only works as you're inhaling. Yeah, you've got to catch it early.
Right.
And in that scene, it goes, duh, and then they all put their fingers under there.
But he's already inhaled by then. But I guess he still sneezes, doesn't he?
Well, there may be more inhaling to come.
Mm.
So you just got to huff your own finger. So a big game is sniff my finger.
Like you have to seal it in?
I imagine. I don't know. I don't know about you.
Sorry, Cass just went to touch her nose and caught her lip on the way up.
It was in the way. If I'm touching all parts of the base of my nose,
yeah,
I feel like the bottom bit is the part that sticks out the most. Everything else can sort of collapse up. So like I can only imagine that the whole point is to touch the sticky outy base bit.
Mm.
And then that's what gets you. Because the other parts, like, they can go up, they can go down, they can flare.
Yeah.
Maybe just try, I was going to say you could just hold your nose tight, but then that'll blow your brain up.
It can blow your brain up.
Yeah. You can blow a hole in the top of your head. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Blows your eyes out, yeah. Mm.
That's the only way I used to sneeze when I was younger, and then I heard it was bad for you, so... Now
it can't feel good to do that, to hold in a sneeze by the nostrils.
Oh, it feels bad. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it doesn't feel any worse than sneezing.
That can't be true.
No, that's wrong. Have you ever had a sneeze
I've
so
done
good?
It. I'm telling you.
No,
and
you're wrong.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. You have a sneeze so good that you're like, I get where that rumor about it being a fifth of an or an eighth of an orgasm comes from. Yeah. Like, sometimes you have a big sneeze.
I can't say I have, no.
And, yeah, because you hold your sneezes and it feels bad.
I'm not always doing that.
If you think every sneeze feels like that.
I've done, as the only person in this room who's done both types of sneezes, I'm actually the only one qualified to. Yeah.
But I've done both types of sneezes.
I feel like I've done it as well.
Somehow yours don't count.
Yeah. Like, God, are you hearing this?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's ridiculous.
It's because you're a woman. He's sexist. That's why.
He doesn't appreciate. I'm sad for you that you've never had a full body sneeze that makes you feel amazing.
You're saying I'm sexist just because I'm a man?
Yeah.
I think that's sexist.
Oh, shit.
Got you there.
Fuck, am I sexist against men? Fuck.
Patriarchy cuts both ways.
That's actually true.
Patriarchy hurts men as well, actually. Mm.
Thank you guys for talking so much about this.
Yeah.
Cass, please, we're having a conversation.
If you had to pick something to become as special as a gemstone, you know how people have their little shelves of nice objects. What would you pick to make a little gemstone?
To make it like as powerful as a gem?
Yeah, like
not
some...
that gems are necessarily powerful.
Oh,
although
some people reckon it might be.
And that's okay.
Snail shells.
What's special to you?
They're too common.
Who cares?
You're right.
There are some minerals.
Diamonds for everyone.
There are heaps of diamonds.
Yeah.
We can make them now, can't
we? Snail shells are pretty special. I like sea dollars. I feel like sea dollars.
Sea dollars?
Isn't it a sand dollar?
Sand dollar, yes.
Yeah.
What?
Sand dollar? The little...
What are they?
It's like the shell of an animal that is long dead.
Cool. Because they're like little discs that look like it's made of sand, but it ain't.
What is it, Adam, Mr. Computer?
Well, it's a species of flat
rock.
Yeah, it's a species of flat.
Also known as sea cookie or snapper biscuit in New Zealand. What are they
cookie.
Doing over there?
Snee cookie.
Whoopsies.
Sometimes called a pansy shell in South Africa.
Ooh.
They are a species of flat burrowing sea urchins belonging to the order, I can't pronounce that. Some species within the order are not quite as flat, are known as sea biscuits.
Mm.
Sand dollars can also be called sand cakes or cake urchins. I mean, they can be called anything.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what they can be called. Tell me what they're called.
There needs to be more flat animals.
Yeah,
so you got
I love
sea
a flat
dollars,
animal.
You got, it's all sea guys too. Are there any super flat land-based guys? Because you got like stingrays and sunfish. That's kind of flat both ways. And sand dollars and bits. But are there any flat mammals?
I don't think there are.
That can't be a flat
mammal. By the side of the road all the time, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man, that sucks. I love flat. I can't think of tape. What? No.
Oh, tape was a good
flat,
answer,
isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it's not a mammal, but
it's pretty flat. But
yeah, it's very flat.
Everything I'm thinking
but
of.
But they're kind of inside a body, which is almost like.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
Mm. There are some pretty flat looking frogs, and you can pat hamsters pretty till they go flat.
That's true, but they're not like flat, flat. They're just squishy. That
I guess sucks. There's no real evolutionary advantage to being flat
there
on
must,
land.
There would be, because you'd.
Such as?
Crawling into crevices,
do
getting under doors.
There's more holes than crevices.
I don't think many creatures evolved to crawl under doors.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
they
eventually.
Might.
Sure, yeah. Not yet, though.
If we keep these animals locked out for long enough, one of them will figure it out.
Do you reckon that I'm right, that there are more holes than crevices in the world?
No.
Isn't this,
a hole has
like a conversation that people had not too long ago?
No, that was the wheels and doors
thing. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Holes, because I feel like a hole doesn't happen. I mean, it does happen by chance, but not as often. As crevices, they're all everywhere.
What's the difference between a hole and a crevice? What
well,
are you defining?
A hole is somewhat circular. It's wide as it is tall-ish,
okay.
Approximately.
So we're just talking about shape here. It's like an equivalent question.
Yep.
I'm not saying this is the same question, but an equivalent would be like, do you reckon there are more squares or rectangles in the world is basically what you're asking.
Sort of, but yeah. Not really, but yes.
In a way, well, I see
all
what
we're asking,
you mean.
It's more the question
usually
of.
You do that to me. This is funny.
It's more the question of, is there more holes than crevices? That's how I would sum it up.
Well, I would
sum
say
it up like that as well.
Yeah. Just because nature isn't very uniform, there's got to be more crevices than holes, right?
I think so. I think crevices. Because you have a pile of rocks, crevices galore, maybe a hole or two.
Do you know what? Okay. Do you know what?
Yep.
Wait, are we counting mouths as holes?
Ooh. But
oh.
Are we also counting butt cracks as a crevice?
Oh, my God, we've got both.
Butt crack ends in a hole, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it starts in a crevice.
Yeah, so it's a
wash.
Yeah,
but that's just evening it out.
Yeah, it's a wash, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, wash your ass is
and
what
a
we're
lip,
saying.
Lips could be a crevice.
And a hole, fuck.
Ooh.
Oh, actually, wait, it might even itself out if we count mouth to anus as one hole.
Yeah, that's true, that's one hole.
Contiguous hole.
Two crevices per
a straw is only one hole, so.
Do you think that?
It's is that scientifically is what it is.
Is that what you think?
That's science. I watched a TikTok about it, and they explained it. It's one hole.
Well, it's pretty conclusive. TikTok can't lie.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep. Well, we solved it. I think I would make rat shit into gems.
No.
Because then I'd farm rats.
This is genuinely not a joke.
Now.
Don't they do that, actually? Isn't
I don't.
There like some service you can get that compacts
rat shit into diamonds?
Maybe not specifically rat shit, I think, but it's like it compacts like organic material into gemstones.
Carbon. Yeah.
It's just
maybe?
Yeah. And it's usually dead people.
Mm.
They usually use the dead.
Well, guess what, Aiden? You're living in your dream world already.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Just burn up a bunch of rat shit, say it was a loved one, and get a rat shit diamond.
There's so much stuff you can do with dead people.
Yeah,
it's great.
And they let you, but it's
so
hard.
They don't let you. It's fucking hard to do anything.
It is hard to
except
do anything.
Except if you don't want to be buried or cremated, it's like a million years, not years, just it's so much effort to get the forms done, you know?
Really?
I think so, yeah.
You haven't tried.
See, that's why in my will, it states, my will is really easy to enact.
Yeah.
You just jam a knife in my back, dump me in a jogging track. That's what I want. Then when I got found, do it again in a different far enough away that the I'm always baffling cops.
Wouldn't they work it out straight away?
Well, yeah, but it's still funny.
Okay.
Oh, you just
then
want to
when
inconvenience
my body is
a
once
cop.
Again,
yeah.
Sorry?
You just want to inconvenience a cop.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's also very funny.
But you'll be so rotten by the third time.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I'm dead. What do I care? I'm dead, chilling with Satan, presumably.
You're right. That'll be more baffling the worse you get.
Yeah, it's exactly it.
I feel like you're not bad enough to be dead talking to Satan. I feel like you're like a first layer of hell guy. Sorry.
Well, I assume.
Sorry.
Well, I just assume that during orientation, I get to meet him.
I reckon there's maybe a video of him saying, welcome, we're a family here.
Yeah? Satan gives me heaps of I care vibes, though. I reckon he's one of the good CEOs.
No, I don't think
so. Oh, I think he's good for show. Like, he's like, oh my God, there is all you can eat downstairs, but like, you know, the food makes you sick or something.
Yeah.
he's like, I'm giving you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but it's just so you stay in hell longer.
Mm. What do you reckon your ideal torture in hell would be? I would really like to be in lava being poked by tridents. I think
you
that
think
would be
you'd
good.
Enjoy that?
Like tridents or forks?
Pitchforks.
Pitchforks. But I feel like I've seen them, but they're always three. I think I feel like they're always three.
Yeah, Trident is three.
Trident is three, yeah. Okay. Pitchfork would be four.
Yeah.
Or actually, no,
Pitchfork's
I think you can
two,
get... I think
it's
you
the
can,
pitchfork.
I think it's either.
Pitchfork is two.
I think you can get...
Because the one you go
ones.
Ding to listen to the pitch of something. Isn't that not... I'm thinking of a tuning fork.
You're thinking of a tuning fork.
Okay.
But you know what? That's fair, because it does make a pitch. A pitchfork is for, like, shoveling hay and stuff.
It would appear that there are many different types of pitchforks. Oh, this one's fucked up. This one's got, like, what's that? One, two, three.
I think that's a rake. I think
four.
You're looking at a rake, Adam.
I googled pitchfork at Lowe's.com.
Lowe's.com. Lowe's never lies.
Yeah. Lowe's knows their shit.
Lowe's knows. And then you blow your nose.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a fucked up fact about diamonds?
Please.
Yes.
Should I make it into a little quiz?
I think that would be wonderful and a great way to learn.
We keeping score?
Yes.
Okay. What do we win?
Well, I mean, there's one question. So, yeah, what do you win? It's up to you. Probably should be up to me, but you guys decide.
Winner buys McDonald's.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Okay. And for me also. That's fair.
No, you got to compete if you want that.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
No, you got to compete in a separate one. Obviously, it's not fair.
No.
Okay. No, it's his rules. He gets to make
my
them.
Rules, my game. Okay. How long does it take for a diamond to be forged in nature?
In nature?
A. Wait, do you want multiple choice?
Yeah.
All right.
A.
1 year.
1 day. B. 2 days. Okay. A. 1,000 years.
Uh-huh.
B. 100,000 years. C. 1,000,000 years. D. 1,000,000,000 years. E. 1,000,000,000,000 years.
I'm going to go 1,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 1,000.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 1,000,000,000. And okay, that's locked in. The results are in. It's 1,000,000,000.
Damn it. Well, I guess you're buying Maccas.
No, yeah. That's not what it was.
Yes, it was. Winner buys Maccas.
No, that's not what it was.
That
it
is
was.
Actually what I said.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
that
listen
is
back.
No, it's actually.
Listen
no,
back.
You buy, that's what I said.
Fuck. Listen back.
God damn it. No, it's shit. Well, yeah, it's 1,000,000,000. 1 billion to 3.3 billion, which is fucking crazy long because the Earth's only been around for 4.5 billion. So
wow.
It's like potentially 75% of the Earth's time. Like, that's how long it takes to make a diamond. That makes sense, what I said.
Sure. 75%
of
the Earth's
time. It takes fucking ages.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, it is. Google it. Don't really. We don't have time.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I don't know what else we've got to talk about. So
it's crazy we have,
time.
You know how, I'm sure you know this, we have more diamonds than, like the De Beers Corporation?
Oh, yeah, there's just vaults and vaults and vaults of diamonds because they're fucking
it's
everywhere.
Artificially scarce.
Yeah, those fucking dogs.
Yeah.
Do you know what isn't artificially scarce?
Mm-hmm.
Gold. Gold happened because of something that happened with, I think it was like an asteroid or something. It was a universal event that caused all the gold that exists in the world.
Cool.
And it won't happen again. And if it does, we'll die. So
All
the gold we have is the gold we have.
I wonder how, because there's elements that go beyond gold that presumably would have been harder to make. But I wonder if they were created, because we have elements beyond gold that naturally occurred on Earth.
What do you mean by beyond gold?
Well, on the periodic table.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
So... those elements, I wonder if they were created by the same event or if something else had to happen for them. Like shit like uranium.
Uranium seems out of spacey.
It does. Oh, we gave it a cool name.
Have I ever told you about, this is a cool story, have I ever told you about the nuclear reactor that occurred naturally?
No.
So there's this.
Is it the sun?
No. It's on Earth. It was it was on Earth. I don't think it exists anymore because it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
But it was in the US, I believe. So there's a regulatory committee that comes by and checks in nuclear reactors, checks to see to make sure that they've got the exact, to like the molecule, the exact amount of uranium that they're supposed to have.
Yeah.
And they were doing a check and they were like, oh shit, a bunch of reactors up and down the Eastern Seaboard that had just recently come online or just had recently re-updated or restocked their fuel, forget exactly what it was, but something they were like new. This is like the first time they'd inspected them and they were like, oh no, they're missing a bunch of uranium. Something's gone wrong.
Mm.
And so they do this massive investigation at the plant, and they can't find any evidence that anyone there could have possibly been involved. So they're like, all right, let's go to the company that supplies the uranium. No evidence, anything, because it's a very strict chain of custody of who owns it and when or whatever. So they're very, very easily they're able to work out that the company that supplied it definitely didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to the company. It's somewhere in South Africa that mined the uranium. And that company also airtight, couldn't have been anyone. And they're like, all right, at what point was this uranium stolen? We can't work it out. And then one of the scientists working there was like, well, let's check the conditions that they were mined under. And they go and they found out that like hundreds of thousands of years ago in the mine, there was a river, a naturally occurring underground river that was running underneath it. And what would happen is the river would swell a little bit as rain or whatever happened. It had hit the uranium, and the uranium's already really hot in the ground. And it would create steam, creating an actual nuclear reactor naturally. Cool. The steam would burn off, and it would burn off with uranium.
Yeah.
And then the water level would go back down, and then once the steam had kind of cooled, or the river had cooled, it would start swelling again, hit it, steam, down.
Yeah,
up,
cool.
Down for hundreds of thousands of years before humans ever got there.
Yeah, right. And so they had the weight of, like, the ore, and it wasn't enough uranium because it had been burnt off. Cool.
Anyway, it's a
fun
story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Uranium shit, I think, is cool and freaks me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, it's
my,
scary.
My mum's partner was telling me this story. He used to, like, as a job, after
as
like
a joke.
As a joke, he would fix like electronics after uni or something.
Yeah.
And so he'd just go in and fix electronics, just like various oscilloscopes and things.
Sure.
And one guy came in with a Geiger counter and he's like, it's just like, it needs to be recalibrated. All of a sudden she's picking up heaps of like background noise just out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
And so my mum's partner's like, looking at it and calibrating and fixing it. And I was like, yeah, that's so weird. Like, it's calibrated perfectly, but yeah, it's just reading a really
fuck
high level of
it
background.
Out.
And then that night, the news of Chernobyl broke.
Oh, my God.
That's how a lot of, apparently a lot of universities nearby found out really quickly, because they were like, oh shit, the Geiger counters, that they would just, any university that has or does testing with uranium or anything like that has inbuilt reactors or whatever.
Yeah.
Geiger counters. Mm. So many people were like, must be broken.
Yeah.
Because that's insane.
Yeah.
The alternative is crazy.
<There's>, who let the uranium out?
At the university I go to, RMIT, come find me. There's apparently in one of the buildings, they were about to build a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
Nuclear.
It's funny you didn't get hung up on the word that's hard for people.
Yeah. Anyway, so they were about to build this reactor, and like they built all the infrastructure for it. So they built these gigantic, like 10-foot deep concrete walls and put it right underground. This is like when was Chernobyl?
Chernobyl was 70s or 80s?
Yeah, I think this is like early 70s, right when everyone's like, nuclear's good.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear's good. Nuclear's good. It was around that time. And then Melbourne became the city council. So I think it was after Chernobyl, Melbourne City Council, because this is right in the city.
Yeah.
The council, like the lowest level of government, decided that it was a nuclear-free zone. So they couldn't build it. Like the council was like,
that's so funny.
And there used to be like signs up around Melbourne apparently saying like, we're a nuclear-free zone here in Melbourne.
That's so funny.
Isn't that so bizarre?
The same level of government that prohibits people from just putting in a fireplace also prohibits the installation of a nuclear facility.
Yeah, just
that's
the
so
lowest
funny.
Level of government be like, nah.
That spins me off into two different stories, but
tell them both at the same time.
Yeah. All right. I actually won't. I'm not going to do that.
I reckon you
can
do it.
I've got a fun story about RMIT, or we could keep talking about uranium.
I really want you to do both at the same time. Do a sentence.
Yeah, I reckon you can.
You're a dungeon master. You love talking,
You love
dungeon masters
plots.
Very rarely, if ever, need to deliver two separate stories one sentence at a time.
But you come close.
Give it a try.
Okay. Did you know that underneath RMIT, there are secret tunnels, quotation marks, secret.
Mm-hmm.
So that reminds me of this other story that happened in South America. It might have been Brazil. I can't remember. But this is just a quick warning. We can back out now. This story is fucked. A lot of people get hurt.
Great. Okay. Well, good thing we're breaking it up
with a fun
per
one.
Sentence.
Yeah.
Okay. During World War II, when it looked like Australia knew that Japan was not going to be able to take and hold all of Australia, but Australia correctly assumed that Japan was going to, at the very least,
give it a red hot go.
Well, no, invade and then just take control of the major cities. That would be enough to knock Australia out of the war.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in Brazil, I think it was. In Brazil, there was a, they had this period of economic growth that ended. This would have been, I think this was in the 90s.
Yep.
It ended around the early 90s. And as the economic growth died, when it went away or whatever, a lot of public services got defunded, including hospitals.
Yep.
So people would sometimes loot these empty hospitals because, like, the service staff were no longer there, but a lot of the equipment still was.
Sure. Oh,
that's
why,
you know,
wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you loot the hospital?
Yeah.
They're not using it.
So in Melbourne, they worked out that the most defensible structures were the big four universities, being at the time RMIT.
Oh, I think I did know this, yeah.
RMIT, I think it had a different name at the time. RMIT, Melbourne University, I think Deakin, and then Victoria University. I don't think Monash. Monash was a thing at the time. But they, those
were the Latrobe? No tunnels out to Bundoora?
I don't think there's a tunnel out to Bundoora. No, it's only the ones in the CBD, directly in the city. But yeah, so because they were the biggest buildings, they were also, and the most built up buildings, they were also the most defensible buildings. And it was decided that if Japan were to invade Melbourne, they would be a good place to hold and then defend
the entire population of Melbourne.
You don't need to defend the entire city. You just need to make it impossible for the army the Japanese army to freely move around. Anyway, they needed to connect these locations, so they dug tunnels underneath the city.
Cool.
So a guy who did not really understand what he was looking into finds this big machine.
This is in a hospital in Brazil?
In a hospital in Brazil. Yeah. Finds this big machine that looks really expensive.
Great.
And he takes it. He owns a wrecking yard, and he takes it back to the wrecking yard. And as part of trying to figure out how much money it might be worth, he starts taking it apart.
Mm.
He can't figure out what it is or what it does. But inside it, there is this rock. It's sand. I think it's sand. But the sand has this cool property where it glows.
Oh, cool.
When the lights
does
are off.
Does radioactive shit really glow in real life? I thought that was just like a thing from cartoons.
It depends. But I don't think this is uranium. It's some other material that is also radioactive. I don't know the name of it.
Cool.
But it glows
plutonium?
In the dark. Might have been plutonium, I'm not sure.
Have you seen uranium glass?
Oh, that kind of glows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Under black light, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they think it's really cool. Well, anyway, I found out from at the state library, I found out about these tunnels underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know because RMIT has, I also went to RMIT, I don't anymore.
Yep.
But when I went to RMIT, after I left RMIT, they've done a massive renovation. So I don't know if you could still access level one. But Hayden, you'll notice if you're in the elevator at RMIT, because you go to RMIT, don't come after Hayden if you live in Melbourne. Or even if you don't live in Melbourne, don't come after Hayden, period.
Yeah, it's big.
But you'll notice in the elevators, they only go down to level two.
Yeah.
That's because level one has access to a lot of the maintenance shit underneath RMIT, including those tunnels.
Cool.
You used to be able to go down to level two, and then there would be just some stairs that lead you down to level one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this big metal grate thing that was very rarely locked that then led further down some stairs into the tunnels underneath the CBD, and I snuck in there exactly once.
Nice. Was it cool in there?
Wow. So the wrecking yard is a family affair.
Oh, no.
And this guy's, not only does his kids love this sand that glows, but his brother, who I think he owns the company with, his brother's wife, who is pregnant, and their kids also really love this sand. They think it's cool to
just
play with.
Touching it. And
Oh yeah, just having a go.
Messing about, writing on the walls with it and whatnot.
Yep.
Anyway, I haven't snuck in, obviously, since leaving RMIT. I haven't been able to. I don't have access. Mm-hmm. But
is anything cool down there?
The one time I went down, I did see a bunch of old medical shit that had quite clearly been just left there.
I had this great story about some old medical shit. Yeah. So in Brazil in the 90s.
It's funny you should say that.
Yeah.
So I'll skip over a lot of details about the family or whatever and jump straight to the...
But you can guess. They got melty.
Well, it actually gets worse.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. Somehow it actually gets worse. There is a guy from coincidentally, the UN Nuclear Regulatory Committee, mm-hmm. a guy from that is just in Brazil for some unrelated thing, I think to do with, like, nuclear missiles or something like that. Yeah. And all members of the UN Nuclear Regulatory Commission, because part of their job is to inspect things that are radioactive often, they'll have, like, the, you know, the little badge thing that... radiologists wear, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lifetime.
It just measures how much radiation.
It's like a little
taken.
Geiger counter and in a way. And then, because you can have like a lifetime exposure or whatever, or like a week-long exposure or something.
So those things will sometimes have a little light that'll go on or a little thing that'll just let you know, hey, that's your radiation for the day, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be, it's typically like after you use it, you hand it in and they measure how much radiation you've had. It's not really supposed to be like a Geiger counter to alert you there's a shitload of radiation. Anyway, he's just walking through downtown somewhere. I actually don't, come to think of it, I don't think it was Brazil. It might have been Chile or something like that. Anyway, he's just walking through downtown and it goes off. It's like, hey, you've had your radiation for the day.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
He goes back to his the place that he's staying and he gets out. He has like a little Geiger counter thing. He walks out into the street, turns it on, and it hits the roof. The Geiger counter goes to the maximum amount that it can register.
Jesus.
He's like, that's really weird. And then he's working there with some other people from the UN, and he's like, hey, I just want to make sure my Geiger counter's working. Can you quickly check your Geiger counters? And everyone at this conference or whatever is like, yeah, they just maxed out.
Whoa.
And so when he hears that, he's like, oh no, something, because they're all over the city. He's like, something really fucking bad has happened. And he doesn't know, because he doesn't work in, or he's just visiting. He doesn't even know who the fucking contact.
Yeah.
He literally drives himself to the government offices, walks into just the first receptionist he sees, and he's like, I need to talk to the most senior person you can get me in touch with. Something really bad is happening.
Yeah.
He manages eventually to talk to someone, and they figure out that they're not sure exactly where the radiation's coming from, but it's coming from somewhere inside the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start trying to triangulate it. And then they also have this huge, like, radio announcement. They do this big public address where they're like, hey, someone has a very dangerous radioactive material. No one's in trouble. We just want it.
Yeah.
We just need you to hand it in. You are not in trouble.
Yeah.
The family hears this. Don't hand it in.
Well, they probably wouldn't have known, right? Like, if I had some cool glowing sand and someone's like, hey, we got some crazy radioactive stuff, I'd be like, huh, well, not me.
It gets worse. They pinpoint where it's coming from. They find the car wrecker's yard.
Uh-huh.
They're like, hey, you have a really dangerous material. We need it. You're not in trouble. It's just poisoning you and everyone else.
Yeah.
They're like, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they think they're going to get it. I guess I have to assume they think they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
This guy from the UN and a bunch of other people that are working
terrifying.
With him are like, no, please. Eventually, they have to get like the, I think the army eventually gets involved and they just search the place, find it. They bring all these people in and they're like, we... No, because they'd been taking it all around town, showing people that they'd known and stuff like that. It was a big hit with the kids. They So I don't know if you've heard this, but if you become radioactive enough, or if you are exposed to enough radiation, you yourself become radioactive.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a myth, but okay.
It's apparently true.
Yeah.
But you yourself become radioactive, or you have like a, yeah, you just take on a low-level radioactive property,
yeah,
like a disease spreading, yeah, or whatever. And they're like, all right, we found it. We know it was you. We just need to know where you've been, because we need to let people, other people who have been exposed, know. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
Here's, at a certain point, a lot of people in his family, I'm not going to get into specifics, but a lot of people die in his family. Yep. And then eventually, I think it's just like him and his wife, and his wife is finally cracks and tells them where it all came from, and they were able to, the entire city had to go into lockdown, and they had to, there were just like scrub down points throughout the city where when you pass through, they're like, we need to scrub you down for radiation.
Whoa. Jeez. How do you get scrubbed down for radiation? Big broom?
It's literally just soap and water.
Really?
Yeah.
And that gets you unradioactive if you've got some particles on you?
It's the best that we have.
Oh boy.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
On that note,
I forgot that this was an episode of Shut Up a Second.
I've been. Oh wait, do you want to give us some light and bright gem history, Cass?
Yeah,
yeah. I'd love to. So the oldest gemstone that we've got is called zircon, and that's more than 4.4 billion years old. So it's not that it takes that long to form. It's just that's the oldest gemstone that we have in the world.
Cool.
And in the middle, it comes in like shades of like browns and stuff, but it also comes in blue. And in the Middle Ages, it was really, really special, and people thought it healed you and stuff. With gemstones and crystals, a lot of different cultures think that they heal you, and a lot of them match up like with what
they
had. In ancient China, the Aztecs and the Mayans, they all considered jade as like a stone that would heal your kidneys. Like there are all these similarities.
It was like
across,
that's specific.
Yeah. So a lot of different things across the world.
That's pretty
for
cool.
The different kinds of gemstones. But we have a new gemstone that they found in 2019.
Really?
A newie.
What's it called? Caramel Dansen?
Caramel Dansen.
Caramel
Dansen. Caramel Tazite.
Terrible name.
Camaltazite? It might be Camaltazite. Let's go with Camaltazite.
Yeah.
It's also...
It needs a jazzy sort of like a name like a ruby or a sapphire.
It's also known as the caramel sapphire.
Ugh, yuck. Not a terrible name. I guess all the good ones are taken.
Yeah.
What's it look like?
Caramel. It is...
I'm guessing brown.
No, it's blue with like flecks of
what
this like...
What the fuck? Why would you call it caramel?
It was found in Mount Carmel in Israel.
Okay. Right. Do you guys want to hear about the most expensive gem that I think you can buy?
Yes.
So it is from libish.com, and it is $4.5 million, and it's a yellow something or other, but it's in a heart shape. But it's weird because it's a 52.57 carat fancy intense yellow diamond heart shape. $5.7 million. And it's just online that you can just add it to your cart.
That's
which
so
seems
funny.
Crazy. Like you could just you could buy this with PayPal on your phone.
Do you reckon they'll take Afterpay?
Ooh, only 4 easy installments of a few million dollars.
I don't know if you want to keep launching into more stories or thing, but on that topic, I was just the other day on eBay. Out of curiosity, I was searching the most expensive watches you could purchase on eBay. It's around like 2 to 4 million when they do list a price. Some of them, I don't know how you can do it on eBay, but some of them are just like no price listed. Just talk to me about it.
Oh, scary.
If you don't know how much it's going to be, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I've been Hayden.
I've been Cass.
I've been Adam.
Adam, D&D's for nerds. That's your main thing.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
If you liked Adam's dual storytelling. I said jewel, but it sounded like jewel.
Yeah.
That's funny because you talked about jewels and also you did two stories at once. Hey, if you think you can tell two stories at once pretty well, just imagine just him saying one story that he made up. It's good.
It's really good.
When's our D&D coming out? Me and Cass recorded a campaign. I don't know if we're leaking this information. I don't know if this is not announced.
Is this the
only one we've done?
I don't know exactly when this comes out, but it is soon to be released. It's the next one coming out, I think.
Keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. Thank you, Adam, very much.